this church because you were invited by a friend or maybe even by a piece of mail that came through. How many of you received an invitation those two ways, either by a friend, somebody you know, or by a card from this church in the mail? Let's see the hands. Raise them up. Really important. So we want to, again, just push ourselves, remind ourselves, encourage ourselves to invite somebody to our Christmas Eve services. You should have, I think, these on the tables. Am I wrong? There's some of these kind of cards on the tables. Yep, one side looks like our Christmas Eve signage that'll be out here on the roads in the next week or so. The other side is our theme, you know, what we're going to be talking about on Christmas Eve, God with us. This you can use just to hand out to folks that you might know, a neighbor, somebody perhaps that you work with. Give out several of them. We can supply them for you. So I want to encourage you to do that. We're, again, just going to reach out in our community. 30,000 households will receive an invitation to come and hear the gospel here on Christmas Eve in two services, one at 4 and one at 5:30. So along with that, we reach out to all of our friends. Our goal is to know Jesus, but not just to know Him for ourselves. We want to share Him, don't we? We want Him to be known by everybody. We say we'd like people to know Him, and there's just growing numbers of folks out here that are uninformed, underinformed, or simply we say misinformed. They got the wrong information about Jesus. And so we want to get the right data, the right information about Jesus out there. So thanks again for being willing to do that. The Sunday before, two Sundays from now, is our Christmas story program. It involves like 40 to 50 people, hopefully tons of kids, where they dramatize, without having to say a word, they dramatize everything, and then somebody's reading, we have various adults reading scripture of the story in about five scenes, and then some amazing music. And so make sure you invite folks to that as well. Maybe they can only come to one or the other, the Sunday or the Monday night, Christmas Eve. So anyway, thanks for being engaged in that here at the Branch. It's just part of who we are. So we've been in this series. This is the final lesson in our Lift series, Important Ways to Help People. It's important to help people. We want to be people that help people, and every one of us has that in our heart. Sometimes how can we help people becomes the question. How can we best help people may become another question. But we want to help people, not just in our family, not just in, but as we can, reaching out. So many of you have been willing to reach out. We started the series with this idea, an important way being generosity, that we could help people with our resources. And the Branch Church, as young as we are, just 3 years old, we have been about helping people with our resources. Thank you. Thank you for being willing to dig deep, perhaps deeper than you ever have, to give for the benefit of somebody else. And so that's what we've been doing here. We have this Christmas offering at the end of each year. The last 2 years, we raised $4,000 the first year, $5,000 last year. The design is it has to be spent in the very next year. So whatever we raise this year, I think we're up to about $2,800, $2,900. We have to spend in 2019. That's our pledge. We're not just going to accumulate it and hold it. We want it to spend it, invest it really in helping people. So last year we helped five families associated with the Branch Church. By the way, last week we were putting out these tags to help this one family that had been part of our events and came to our church, and then they moved 45 minutes away, can really no longer come here that easily. But they called and said, is there anything you guys might be able to help us with some of the gifts for our five kids? Because they were just, she's going through a couple surgeries and struggles, and she brings the primary income home. And so you reached out. All those tags were gone. Boom. Last week. Thank you. Give yourselves a hand. And so we're doing that again. Christmas offering, you know, again, if you can and help in that way. Just thank you ahead of time for that. By the way, we're also trying to reach our goal. Our goal is to be fully self-sustaining, self-supporting, self-governing congregation. We're just 3 years in. It's going to take five, they tell us. We're on course. We're right on course. Our goal this year is to hit kind of the 80% self-funded, okay? Because we've got funding that comes from outside of us. So that's what we're trying to do. We've got 25,000 left to go to hit 160. That would be the 80% of our budget, okay? What it takes to operate us year by year. So we got a ways to go. That's a big hill to climb, and we'll see how close we can get to it, or perhaps by the grace of God, boom, we'll jump right over that. But that's what's left to go in the next 4 weeks. So thank you for your consideration there. Thank you for your ongoing support of God's work and God's values through the Branch Church. We're a church that just doesn't want to be a church that just grows ourselves. We want to be a church that sends. And so I've been in ministry for 28 years, and this is a glorious time for us because we're part of this new church that wants to have the impact of multiplying itself. And so God bless Ruth and Kyle right over here, and their young family came all the way out here from Kentucky with the desire to go out and reach people, unreached people perhaps, in areas that are growing around our county. And so we're going to be sending them off with a group of Branch folks and resources that they bring. It's just to do this, to replicate this next year. What a cool thing. And it's because you got a heart to get behind that, that we're a team, we're people that are community that has decided we got to do this. We've got to make Jesus known as far and wide as we can. And we're intentionally trying to do that. And so God bless you as you can support and help that happen for us this next year. So anyway, that's generosity. We spent a couple weeks on that. Matt Shively brought us a great lesson on gratitude. As we worship and thank God, people notice. It's like when you check in on Facebook, people notice you're going to a church. Friends, don't ever underestimate the effect of the worship of God and how your thanksgiving to God matters, not just to your own soul, and it will, but to other people that are watching you, observing you, trying to understand Jesus more. And so, you know, we meet week by week in part because we want to worship God. We want to give Him thanks for our lives and what He's done for us every single week. So that was gratitude. Then we looked at encouragement. Encouragement is absolutely vital, critical. You look back into your life, you've noticed you've been encouraged by somebody somewhere, sometime, perhaps several times, and it has been a corner that has been turned for you in your life. It has propelled you. It has, you know, given you the energy at a particular critical time of crisis, perhaps, that made you who you are today. God wants us to be encouragers. Part of the reason we assemble week by week is that we might encourage one another. And so when I say go out of here, and before you leave, go out the doors, greet somebody. In other words, go up to somebody and let them know who you are if you don't know them. Encourage them, thank them for being there. That's encouragement to you that somebody else came to. And or just reach out to them, sincerely compliment them, affirm them in their faith. We need that for each other, friends. We really do. You look around today, there's a good group here. Isn't it great to be part of something that other people are part of and encouraged by and want to be there? It really is. And so thanks for being here to encourage each other as the day approaches, that day of Christ coming, the day even of our death. Well, last week Kyle introduced this last important way of helping people, and it was through prayer. He did a great job of sharing how Jesus Himself prayed for us. Sets a divine example for us to be about praying for each other. Because that is probably, I really kind of believe it's the most powerful way, because it pulls in the very resources of God, the power of God, to help people. Okay? So I hope you pray for yourself. I hope you pray for your family. But praying for people is absolutely critical. I love kids praying. And grandkids, we had this big family get-together yesterday. It was our family Christmas, and the little kids there. And these little ones that are getting to know God, little 4s and 5 years old, praying, uttering these little prayers. I just love it. So I found a couple online. There was always something online. Dear God, Debbie, who's age 7, says, please send a new baby for mommy. The new baby you sent last week cries too much. So I was like, you never know what kids are going to say when it's like, wow. Sibling rivalry starts early, right? Jimmy, age 6, prayed this. Dear God, who did you make smarter, boys or girls? My sister and I want to know. You know, I was like, whoa. Oh, my. I love this one. Dear Lord, thank you for the nice day today. You even fooled the TV weatherman. That was Hank, age 7. He lives in the Northwest, right? Yeah. Dear God, I need a raise in my allowance. Could you have one of your angels tell my dad? Thank you. Oh, my goodness. I love kids. You know, we need a lift, and a lot of people this time of year need a lift. You believe that? Perhaps this is a season in your own life that is more difficult to manage emotionally, relationally. It's a bit of a struggle. And you know, this is the season where the suicides rise, the rate of people that are in despair to the point of even taking their own life. There's a lot of people that are suffering with depression right now. Now, you might not think it because you see the jolly, you know, Merry Christmas tunes and you have the lights and there's a lot of high-spirited stuff. But remember, there are always those that isn't as good a time. Perhaps it was a time when there was great loss. Perhaps they're remembering someone that just not too long ago was there enjoying that time. There's no longer there. So always remember, people need a lift, not just around this season, but always. And one of the ways we can give people a lift is through praying. In fact, at the end of one of Paul the Apostle, the church planner apostle, I like to call him, wrote to a church at Ephesus, which we believe may have also been a letter that was circulated to other churches, but he writes this at the end of the letter, and some lifting, encouraging, important and an important way he ends with that helps people. Just kind of listen. This is, by the way, the first scripture on these notes that you can take, a little handout. I'll only give you, I think it's just a couple fill-ins today, but you can take home the scriptures and review it later if you'd like to. Finally, he says, this is the in chapter 6 and verse 10, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle, note that, our struggle includes everybody really, is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And he goes on and he ends with these helpful words, words that are meant to encourage us to lift others up in this way, an important way, and I believe the most powerful way, and pray in the Spirit, on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests, with this in mind, be alert and always, look what he says, always keep on praying for all the saints. Saints are not special people among God's people. Saints are all of God's people. We're all set apart. The word saint, sanctus, comes from the Latin, means to be set apart for God, set apart from sin, set apart to serve God. So we're all saints. So, let's go so far as to say, I am a saint. Would you repeat that with me? I am a saint. That's right. What's a saint? So, you got that, Lee. I am a saint. So why? Why keep on praying for all the saints? Because prayer will help them. As you pray for others that are following Christ, and we'll talk about those that are not yet, but those that are trying to follow Christ imperfectly as we will, we need divine power. We need help. We're told to ask God, pray for this person in a particular way. Prayer is an important way to help people. It will lift them up. It will give them some assist as they're climbing in their journey by this intervening power of God that we can request on their behalf. Think about it. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? We can ask God to assist this person in some struggle, something they might be wrestling with in their life. You and I can do that. And I don't even have to reach out my hand. I might just drop my knee to the floor. And there's a way in which I can help somebody else. They don't have to live next door. They don't have to live in your house. They don't have to work where you do. You can pray for somebody in the other side of the world. That's pretty powerful. That's an amazing thing. It's a very important thing. And prayer is commanded in connection to the struggle, this wrestle that we will have in our warfare, in the battles that we have with the evil one, with his minions, with sinners on the earth that aren't doing good, that are wicked or unrighteous or just troublesome to us. We can pray for every person that way. So people struggle all the time, you know, different times, different ways. People struggle making life choices. And I've prayed for my kids to make the right friendship choices, the right companionship choices, the right spousal choices. I pray for their faith because I know that the evil one wants their faith to go south, not up to God. There's all kinds of problems that people are wrestling with controlling addictions. The addiction of pornography is extremely real and a powerful drug against people today. It's used by the evil one to pull you away from God, to pull you down and make you a slave to something you shouldn't be. Food can be an addiction. Unhealthy people can be an addiction to us. We can be codependent in that sense. We need the power of God, the resources of God to help come in, to help pull people, lift people out of those things. Obviously, the drugs themselves, whether it's some drug that we're addicted to, heroin, meth, you name it, even legal drugs that are prescribed can become something that enslaves. And we need an additional assist from God in those cases. And there's all these life responsibilities that can be so hard on people, like parenting, like being a, you know, fitting into the role of being a spouse, of our financial issues and debts that we might have that are encumbering to us. Those things, we can ask for divine intervention on behalf of people, and they can be helped. Life responses, often from the hurts of people. This is a big one because our flesh wants to retaliate when we've been hurt. And we want to get back, get even. And anger can put us into a very problematic place. And so we can go to God on behalf of others, and they're dealing with that. Some people are bullied. The devil bullies. How about our own sin and the struggle that we want to overcome some entanglements of that sin? How about the past that seems to plague us? God can free us from that, or the concerns about the future that plague us as well. And we move into accumulation mode. We move into finding our own security instead of relying on God for some of the most important securities of life. And so we're to pray for the saints, and God will provide some protections, and he'll provide positioning for our lives with a divine power to take our stand against the devil's schemes. How does that work? How does that work? You know, God is answering prayers from Chinese people on the other side of the world right now. And some of you are praying right here, right now, for somebody because this has stimulated that probably. And yet he's hearing your prayers right here, and he's handling a problem on, you know, the other side of the earth, and he's handling your problem of what somebody in your life. How does God do that? I'm kind of a pragmatist in a way. I don't wonder. Okay, so I need to. I like to know how things work. Anybody else like to know how things work? I don't know. It's more believable to me when I know kind of how it works. So how does God do this? How does God do this? And when I heard a message about this one time, it just opened my mind all of a sudden to, wow, God gives us a little bit of revelation as to how he goes about answering prayer. And it just helped and inspired and motivated me to say, okay, there's something big behind this idea of prayer. God is actively doing something. Now, some of you are saying, well, duh, Dave, you should, you know, you don't you believe God, Dave? Come on, you know. Well, I like to know how things work, okay? Some of you guys do too, because you tear apart into stuff and you dig into how things work. And God's given us a mind to want to know how things work, right? And some of you engineer types and you, so here's the deal. When we pray, here's one of the things I know God does. Now, he might do more than this in how he answers prayer, but this is one thing he does. So just note it for me and humor me a little this morning. When we pray, God commissions and energizes angels to accomplish his will. Now, this was, you know, this I caught on to this like 15 years into ministry life. It's like, man, and the Bible reveals it. But I never kind of used it as a way to help me understand, oh, God, that's how you do that, some of that stuff. That's pretty cool. You know, that's pretty cool. And so I want to bring this piece up this morning and just talk to you a little bit about that. Let's go to a passage over here in Acts chapter 12, in the early days of the church. They were trying to put a stop, that is, the Jewish authorities using Roman authorities, they're trying to stop the Christian way. It was called the way at the time, and also the church. But they were trying to stop that, and they put James and John were the two sons of Zebedee, and they were called the sons of thunder. Well, I imagine that they were outspoken. Well, James was taken and arrested, and then he was beheaded. He wasn't the first Christian martyr, but he was what we understand to be the first of the apostles who were martyred for his faith. Well, that worked out pretty well to the excitement of the Jewish and Roman authorities in one way, and so they arrested Peter. Now, Peter's one of the very outspoken apostles, right? First among equals. They arrested him, put him in prison, it says so. Peter was kept in prison, but, now I want you to notice the but here, but what happened? The church was earnestly praying to God for him. And he was kept in there rather than being beheaded because it was during the Passover feast. After the feast, they were going to take care of Peter. That's what it seemed. It seemed like that was going to be the same fate for Peter as it was for James. And so the church was earnestly praying for him. And then we find, and I don't have the whole passage there, I invite you to go look at it, the rest of chapter 12. But suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. And this angel, Peter, the scripture says there, had four squadrons of Roman soldiers. That would have been four times four, 16 guys. He was lying between two of them, chained to two of them. And the angel came, and Peter was kind of in a trance vision, and released him, walked him out beyond all of those guards, and took him back to where the church was. The rest of the scripture says this. This is on your notes there. Peter came to himself and said, I know without a doubt that the Lord sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were anticipating. When this had dawned on him, Luke, the writer of Acts, says, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying. So put two to two together here, friends. As we pray for each other, God will act sometimes by sending an angel. Who do you know that's in prison right now? Prison of addiction, the prison of their own sin, the prison of a bad relationship. One of the ways you can help them is just simply by praying to God for them. Even getting another prayer person, partner, to help you. Like here the church was praying for Peter. This was a major crisis. Early on, the leaders of their movement were being taken, their heads were being taken off. Literally. So, I like to use some helps. Here's a prayer guide. I'm not sure if you have these on your place settings or not. There's a prayer guide. If you don't, you can just pass them around. I want to invite you to take one of these. Put it in your Bible at home. I have one in my Bible. This is a help to pray for both believers on one side, fellow believers, as well as on the other side, praying for unbelievers. For the fellow believers, it has that Ephesians 6:18 passage at the top, but then I've given you five little guides, scriptural guides as to how we can pray for others. Now, definitely pray that their surgeries would go okay. Pray that their health would return. Pray if they're sick. But friends, pray spiritually too. Pray for these momentous, you know, life and death, eternal issues. Like, pray number one, pray for spiritual growth and mature Christ-like character in another believer that you know of. Epaphras, he is always wrestling in prayer for you that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. We can pray those words on behalf of others. Pray they would overcome sin, number two. Pray they would know the will of God, number three. And look at the scriptures behind there. Pray for protection from the devil. I pray this one almost daily. Look what it says there. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world. This is Jesus. He doesn't want us to go out of the world, friends. What does he want us to do? But that you protect them from the evil one. Sanctify them. That is, set them apart by the truth, and your word is truth. This is what Jesus wants for us. Not to be of the world, but he needs us to be in the world to make him known. Because he loves every single soul. God loves every single soul, not just you and me. He loves the worst sinner in the world right now. He cares about their eternity. He wants them to repent. He wants them to turn. He wants them to be part of the kingdom community. He wants them to live forever. This is the heart of God. And so he needs you. He wants you to be involved in this world. And prayer is one of the great ways we can help others. So it's a wonderful thing. Turn it over to the praying for unbelievers. Let's look at Paul at the top. He said, brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites is that they may be, what does it say? Saved. He wants all the Israelites saved. He wants them to be saved. And they turned their back on Jesus. They didn't think Jesus was the Messiah. Even Jews today don't think Jesus is the Messiah. They will be lost forever unless they turn to the true Messiah. And so Paul prayed at that time. We would pray today, but we pray for everybody in our lives that doesn't know God. We can pray for them. Look at the various guides that we have right on this little tool here to use. Pray that the Holy Spirit would convict them of sin. Right? So when the Holy Spirit comes, Jesus said this, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. John 16:8. I love number two. I pray this often with the complacency, our cultural complacency and compromise so much. I pray this, that our eyes would be enlightened. We don't deal with death much in our world. Oh, other people far away usually. But, you know, it's a good idea to go to as many funerals as you can of people that you know. Don't show up at people's funerals that you know, right? As you get older, those funerals increase, by the way. Amen, anybody? Yeah. Okay, pray that God will produce in people a growing fear of death, fear of God, fear of judgment, and a realization that life is short. Now, this is for people that don't understand Jesus yet. Once we understand Jesus and have taken him to be our sin sacrifice, we don't have to fear God in that sense of judgment. For we trust in the judgment that had taken place on Jesus for our sins. But for those that don't, there needs to be a very healthy fear of a God who will and has to, according to his holiness and righteousness, judge. And so I pray that into those that may not know him yet. I know I was at that place, and it was an important motivation for me. Okay, well, there's more there. I invite you to use that. And then there's this little 7 for heaven cards. Maybe you know as many as 7. Some of you know more. Others of you know a few less of people in your life that you may work with, that you hang out with, that might be even living in your home. It could be in your neighbor's home, whatever. People that may need Jesus or the church. Pray for them. And you could even pray using the guide. But pray for them. Put them down. They might become an appropriate invitation at some point for something connected to the branch. But there's a little way for us to bring those people to our mind and keep them front and center, because this is perhaps the most important. I know this. I believe it's the most powerful way to help people. And God wants us to pray for people. At the end of the 40 years of marching through the wilderness, the children of Israel came to a place near Edom. And Moses sent messengers from Kadesh to this king of Edom saying, "This is what your brother Israel says. You know about all the hardships that have come upon us. Our ancestors went down into Egypt, and we lived there many years, 400 years. But at the end of it, they were mistreated by the Egyptians. The Egyptians mistreated us and our ancestors. But, here's this contrast, what God wants us to understand. God's involved, but God, right? But when we cried out to the Lord, when the children of Israel, under bondage, enslaved by the Egyptians, when they cried out to the Lord, he heard our cry, and note the testimony, and he sent an angel. He sent an angel and brought us out of Egypt. All I'm going back to here is that this is one of the ways God answers our prayer. He will commission and energize angels, boom, boom, in response to our prayers. Can you believe that? Now, he might not do it all the time. He might say to your prayer, no. I don't know. You know, it's up to him, okay? He might say, wait. He might say, I want to hone your character a little bit more. So I'm going to put you through some tests. Or he might say, boom, angel, go, get this done. Okay? Hezekiah was a good king, and Isaiah was his prophet. So the kings back in the Old Testament era, this would be in the Davidic king. So they would go and inquire of God. How would they inquire of God? Through the prophet. And then the prophet would come back, who had God's word orally spoken, came to be written down, share with the king what to do. So they were the biggest council that the king had, was the council of God. By the way, our greatest council that we have is the council of God's word, the wonderful counselor. He's given us so much right here in the Bible. Well, so Isaiah the son of Amoz sent a message to Hezekiah. This is what the Lord of God says. This is what's in regard to how they were surrounded. Israel was surrounded by Sennacherib, who was a king of Assyria, and they were coming to take Judah out and take Jerusalem out. They had already taken care of the northern kingdom and taken them into captivity. Now Assyria was coming down, and they surrounded the Jerusalem with 185,000. I'll say that again, 185,000. That's a lot, isn't it? And so he said, because you have prayed to me concerning Sennacherib, king of Assyria, then the angel of the Lord, read this wonderful chapter of Isaiah 37, and the angel of the Lord went out and put to death 185,000 in the Assyrian camp. Oh my, friends, prayer is powerful. And God will answer prayer sometimes by energizing and commissioning angels. 2 Kings 6 records this. This is about Elisha, who would always know what the enemy is going to do. And in this case, the king of Aram. And he'd always know. And so the king of Aram was like perturbed by this guy. Their intelligence of the Israelis was incredible. By the way, it kind of still is. But that time it was really incredible because of Elisha. Elisha the prophet would know what's going on. He'd alert, and so they would not be defeated, or they would go ahead and win a battle. It was really pretty cool. Read this chapter, 2 Kings 6. Well, so the king of Aram wanted to just quash this intelligence. So they put a hit out on Elisha, put a hit out on God's man Elisha. So here's the scripture. He, king of Aram, sent horses and chariots and a strong force there to Dothan, where they found where Elisha was residing. They went by night and they surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God, who was Elisha, got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. And he said, the servant said, Oh no, my Lord, what shall we do? Don't be afraid. The prophet Elisha answered, those who are with us, on God's side, those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed, O Lord, open his eyes, the eyes of his servant, so he may see. Open his eyes, so he may see. What a great prayer. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked, and he saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. This is the unseen to our normal eyes. But God has angels surrounding you and me right now. Do you believe that? They're ministering spirits, the Bible says, sent to serve us. Right. So they're all over the place here, surrounding us. They will do God's bidding as God's will would send them to. The enemy came down toward him, and Elisha prayed to the Lord, strike these people with blindness. Because it seemed like they were just going to be overrun with all of the king of Aram's horses and chariots, his strong force, the Bible says. And so he struck them with blindness, O God did, as Elisha had asked. It goes on, and I'd invite you to read the rest of the story. But I want you to note this power that we have in praying and energizing through God's will angels to do his bidding, at least in part, friends. And so even this month we celebrate the birth of the Savior, and accompanied with the birth of the Savior is God's will being done through angels. There's an angel named Gabriel. He was an archangel, or a ruling angel over, you know, lots of other angels. And he was involved in John the Baptist's birth and coming to Zacharias, who was the high priest or the priest that year who would go into. And then he was involved in talking to Mary and revealing what would happen to her. I'm not sure if he was involved with Joseph. I don't think it's named there, but there was an angel that spoke to Joseph that arranged this unique family in which the God-man, Jesus, would be born. We're going to celebrate that in the next couple of weeks, big time here. Angels that God is using to accomplish his will. I don't know about you, this helps me. We're not saying anything necessarily more about prayer. We're just saying, behind the scenes, this is one of the ways, at least, that God operates. And for me, kind of a guy that likes to know how things work, it helps me to, well, okay, I'm going to pray into that and watch how God works. Okay, when we don't pray, though, the failure to pray, it's on the back side of your notes, creates a spiritual energy crisis energy crisis. When we don't pray, when we don't talk to God, then he's not maybe sending as many angels accomplishing. He's responding to our prayers. He responds to our faith. Just like if you have a son or daughter and comes to you and asks for something, or asks Santa, and you have to, okay, I better overhear that, you would like to provide it. I think God's much the same way. If we ask God for something, perhaps he's more likely to provide it, as long as it's not a selfish, sinful kind of thing that we're asking for. Maybe he would love to bless us with that kind of gift. Wow. But if I don't pray, maybe he won't respond. If I don't know what my son wants for Christmas, or if I don't know what my daughter would really like best from me, if she doesn't say anything to me, how do I know? I want to respond. And so I need some help for this one here, okay? So I need three guys. Want to come up and help me? Got three guys, come up and help me. Anybody that would like to come up and help me? Moses. Here's Moses right here. This is Moses. Okay, here's her. Okay, I need an Aaron. Aaron's right here. Chris, you remember, guys, Chris? Some of you were at our Thankful Friends. Chris got up here and became famous. Okay, so, all right, here we go. Now, I'm going to get something here. This is the rod or the staff of Moses, right? With this rod, he parted the Dead Sea. That's right. Okay. Now the Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites at Rephidim, it says. And Moses said to Joshua was his general, choose some of the men and go out and fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands. Now this was early on. This is right out of the gate. They just came out of slavery. And they're going to have to handle the Amalekites. And these guys were bad dudes. They attacked the rear of their caravan, okay? And you know what was in the rear? The infirm, some of the women, and the kids. This is an evil bunch of people, okay? And they did some of that kind of thing as they believed in their work. So they had to fight them. So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. As long as Moses held up his hands, both. There you go, you got to hold both hands. As long as he held up his hands, okay, the Bible says, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites are winning. So when he raises his hands, the way you can determine that you're winning, Israelites, is I want you to go, whoa, like that, okay? So raise your hands, let's do this. Whoa! But when his hands go down, I want you to go, whoa, okay? Put your hands down. Where you go, up, whoa, 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 whoa. Well, even, this guy's got arms as big as my thighs, but I mean, he's still going to get tired, okay? He's going to get tired, because this was an all-day battle. All day long, he had to hold his hands up. And so, get your hands back up there. We want to win. Whoa! We're winning like crazy. We're winning. So what happened was, he got tired. He got tired. And so, in that, because this represents the prayer to God, okay? As his hands came down, the people could even see he became weak in prayer because they could see him. And so it would drop. So, what they had to do is find a rock. This is going to be a rock for Moses to sit on. There you go. And so what would happen is, to keep his hands up, Aaron and Hur had to hold his hands up. So hold them up, way up. They had to hold his hands up. So note what the scripture says. Yep. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side and one on the other, so that his hands remained steady until sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. Okay, awesome. Cheer! Woo! Yeah, that's right. Thank you, guys. Awesome. Okay, so That represents our prayer. God wants us to pray. God wants us to be involved as a people, raising our prayers to Him and not getting, you know, tired, but just continuing to pray up. Pray to God for people, for the will of God to be done. If we don't pray, friends, we'll miss victories in our lives and in the lives of others. Prayer releases the power of God to make everything that matters a reality. Let's pray. Almighty God, we are so grateful today that we can pray and know, even through the insights recorded here about how you respond in, at least at times we would understand, commissioning, energizing angels to act on your behalf for the sake of your people that are wrestling or struggling in spiritual warfare on this earth. And so receive our gratitude right now. Encourage our hearts through this insight. And God, enable us, strengthen us even, pray and to hold each other up in prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we're going to have the band come up and share our final song right now. I want to just put a word in about this class on biblical baptism tonight. I want to invite anybody here that would like to come over and again investigate, just kind of look at what God's Word says about baptism from the Bible, okay, not from church history, but just from the Bible, and an opportunity perhaps to respond to that even next week. If you've never been immersed underwater, we'll have that going on right here in our church. Thank you all for coming. As they close this song, just after the song, again, I want to invite you to reach out to each other. Maybe even ask if there's something you can pray for about someone else. Wouldn't that be cool? And then there's more refreshments there. If you have children, make a beeline right for the kids so they can get released from that and come out and enjoy too, okay? I want to invite you to stand as we close our service with this great song.